So this is a more general topic. It's endeavoring to enter into the God-ordained way, which is a significant part of our history in the recovery. And we like to spend a little bit of time on this. We can make it interactive if you want to talk about this or have a question about this, or, you know, we're all endeavoring. We, in our area, don't feel like we've made that much progress, but we feel like we have made some. When Brother Lee began to turn this direction, he did so because we were stagnant, in at least in North America. He felt that the churches were not so living and not so increasing, so he went to work. He left, actually, the U.S. to go to Taiwan after we finished the Acts training, finished the New Testament life studies, and then he packed up and went to experiment. And eventually, he started using the term God-ordained way, and also sometimes a new way, but he was determined to help us go forward. And he realized it would take, I've heard, 50 years to turn us that direction. So we've gobbled up 30 of those from 85 to 2015, 95, 05, 15, yeah, about 30 of those years. And I think we've come a distance, but I'm not sure we're there yet. We don't have him here with us to keep, to help us. So he would endeavor to speak some things to us, and then he would stop speaking about it for a while. He says, I've already said everything I can say, and then he would come back to it. In fact, in the last major line of his ministry before he went to be with the Lord in June 97, that fall, I think, was the last time he consistently ministered. And do you remember what topic that was on? Vital groups, yeah. So he, earlier in the 90s, he had gotten, after struggling and experimenting, he had realize the vital grouping of the saints is really what the Lord needs if we're going to go forward, where the saints are entering in. They just don't have a weekend church life or a meeting hall church life, but they're active. They're grouped to strengthen one another, to go on together, to care for one another. So that all this started pouring out, and it was somewhat of an experiment and. The books are about, you know, that tall, a stack that high, and I think we count up hundreds of chapters, thousands of pages on this topic, trying to help us. So we'd just like to spend a little time to see some of the benefits that we've derived from this fellowship, and also how to go forward and what we can do to keep going forward. So when he finished Acts, he began to turn this way, and I'd like to just summarize it this way. I think part of the frustration we had was that we do have a very rich Bible. The Bible is full of the Spirit, full of the triune God, full of ministry and ministers, cooperating with God, moving with God, saving man, calling men to God's purpose, raising up churches. It's all there in the New Testament. And if you get to, we can flip to Acts real quick. Acts 2:42, there's just about six verses here that are titled The Beginning of the Church Life. So this is, if we reel back the time here and go look what our forefathers, how they practiced. And Acts 2:42, when you get that, let's read it. Are you ready? Go. Okay, so you have the early saints, they were continuing. They were going on steadfastly. And you can liken that into the New Testament ministry. They continued steadfast. That's like the trunk of the tree. That is immovable. That's the structure that bears everything that comes out, has to come out of the New Testament ministry. And we will never deviate. Someone was asking me earlier about, well, they had some people concerned, why do you read so much Witness Lee? Why do you read so much Watchman Nee? Well, we read them because they are very focused on the New Testament ministry, which emphasizes Christ, the person, and his enlargement, the body. That is what the New Testament's about. And we like to hear that ministry, and we receive help from that ministry. We grow by feeding on that ministry, and it produces what God's after, the church, God's eternal purpose. So it just so happens that through God's sovereignty in our day and time, the Lord's used those servants and others to bring us into this very focused ministry so God could wrap up the age. Amen. Let's go for it. So, we live in a unique time in church history. The brothers here are some of the best recovery historians we have. So they should be speaking a little bit about this. But there hasn't been a time since the early church that I'm aware of that the Lord's had something on the earth that he has today. Amen. And it's primarily because through the Lord's moving and the oneness of the body, that he has an expression of oneness throughout the whole earth. We can go just about anywhere in the globe, on the earth, and we can contact brothers and sisters who are in the flow of the triune God. That hasn't happened since the early church. And there's a great recovery going on. So to live today, of all the centuries you can live in, whether it was Martin Luther's day or Zinzendorf's day or 19th century, whatever, it's the best time to be living because the advancement of the recovery is as far as it's been in 2,000 years after things got lost. It is a great time. It's wonderful.
Amen.
Aren't you thankful?
Hallelujah.
Yes. Hallelujah. We're in a unique time of church history. It's unbelievable.
Amen.
It's believable because God's doing it. We can see it. We can come here. We got people from 6 or 8 states here, dozens or many churches, and we're all here enjoying. We're all here as one. And there's many more that aren't here that are in the same fellowship. So this is what it was like in the early church. They continued steadfastly, just like we're doing, in the teaching and the fellowship of the apostles. And so you flip to verses 46 and 47. Let's read that together. And day by day, continuing steadfastly with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they took of their food with exaltation and simplicity of heart. 47, what were they doing? They were praising God and having favor for all the people. And the Lord added together, day by day, those who were being saved. Now, does that sound like a boring, ho-hum Christian life? No! They were not sad, depressed. They were happy. They were praising. They were taking their food with exaltation. They were filled with the Spirit, and they were praising God. Taking their food with simplicity of heart. Such a simple church life, a pure church life, a Spirit-filled church life. And they had grace. The people were drawn. The people were being added daily. The Lord was saving people. It was very active. Don't you desire that kind of church life? So they continue steadfastly. So you might say, if you connect verse 42 with 46 and 7, they continue steadfastly in the teaching and the fellowship of the apostles. That's 42. And then, what did it look like? What does it look like when you continue steadfastly? Tell us, Luke, what does that look like? Well, I just took a walk in your park over here, and there's some beautiful trees, and I did admire the trunk, and I was thankful for the trunk, and the trunk bears all the weight. But the beauty of the tree is in all the expression of that, the nature of that tree, the essence of that tree. And even if it had some, if it would have had some fruit or some flowers, Paul told us earlier, the way you distinguish different species of trees is by the fruits and flowers. So the expression, the identification of that particular tree is by the expression of it. So you have essence down here, and we will never leave our essence, but you have expression up here. What does it look like? Is it apple? Is it pear? Let me see. And it's homes. And it's in the temple. Yes, the temple got destroyed, so they had to find more homes until they could. Eventually, I think it was in the 300s, they built some religious edifices to meet. So we're for the gathering of the church. We're for the Lord's Day morning, whole church coming together like in Corinth. We need that. But that can only be done probably on the Lord's Day morning. We do it in Austin, Lord's Day morning, Lord's Day evening, but that's pushing it. But the rest of the time, what does it look like? What is that all of our church life? We can just come to the big meeting? No, we need that. And things going on through the week should be directed toward that, for the expression, to be together, to express the Lord, to prophesy. We need the homes. We need the tables, house to house. We need taking our food with exaltation. We need praising God. We need singing, rejoicing in the home. So this is the expression. This is the essence. So when Brother Lee started talking about the God-ordained way, he was talking about what does this look like? Why? He would have the richest ministry, I think, in thousands of years. It's the New Testament ministry opened up like never before. Amen. So much truth. So much rich Christ. Where's the expression of it? How come that richness is not being expressed? How come the livingness of that is not being manifested? How come that's not expanding? How come it's not being fruitful? What's the problem? Well, that's when we went to work on this part, and we're still trying to grow that part. We're still trying to develop that part. So that's what we call, when I talk about the God-ordained way or ministry, is talking about the expression. Acts 2, 46 and 47. Okay? So that means we all can participate by staying focused on the trunk, the New Testament ministry. Then out of that will come something that is very beautiful, expressing the riches of that life and nature of our wonderful triune God. Okay, so if we look at this outline, we have several Roman numerals here. The first one talks about three tragedies. And these are tragedies that we suffered many years, and this is part of why we want to practice more the God-ordained way, is the loss. The first one is students. How about we read that? A, students. The loss of our own children in college. So we saw that through the years, these early years, many of our own kids, they just didn't continue. We couldn't retain a large percent of our own. I was talking to one sister during the break, and she was just came out of her mouth that the children, she's in a locality where it's older, and a lot of those saints' kids are not around. So there's this problem of losing our own, and groups that don't retain their own usually don't have much future. Okay, that's one tragedy. The second one was after the full-time training started, we had trainees coming out of the training, but there were limited fields for them to labor in. Where can they labor? They're trained. 2 years. They gave 2 years to Bible school training. And now they're equipped. But where can they practice? Where's the hospital where the doctors can go get the practice? That's the second one. And third one, let's read that together. C.
Limited opportunities for them to bear fruit.
Okay, so the community of saints, we just, the rich assets that are there in the community of saints are just, after you've spoken to your relatives, you've spoken to your neighbors, you've spoken to your colleagues, and you're sitting there at the computer all day, and you've spoken to your computer, but it's no spirit. So you can keep speaking. You need to speak to the animals and you need to speak to whatever. But if there's no spirit, no response, there's not going to be a whole lot of flow, right? So the community of saints, how can they get involved? How can they, the rich assets, be employed? So these are the three tragedies. Big ones. Wipes out the students. The full-timers are unemployed. After being trained, the community of saints, the rich assets, are limited opportunities for them to bear. Not no opportunities, but they become limited. They get exhausted after you've talked to your neighbors, colleagues, etc. So, Roman numeral 2, the campus teams, let's read that.
Campus teams help avert these three tragedies.
Okay, not a total solution, but an averting so that we can take care of these three groups. And the students, A, instead of just surviving, which we fought to have them survive in college, then we've moved to trying to get them to thrive, to blossom, to grow. They actually come out of college advanced, more advanced than when they came in. And furthermore, we've endeavored over the last few years to not even be satisfied with that, but they would multiply while they're in college. They would actually bear fruit. And that's why this internship is so exciting to us, is because they get to be with us in the summer. They get to meet younger students who they're more likely to be able to lead to the Lord, shepherd, bring them into God's way. So the students are making advancement in this way through the campus teams. Why don't you flip to the history section? It's the blue tab. And if you flip down to exhibit I and J, near the end of the blue tab section, you'll see on I, disposition of 2010 high school seniors. Well, we'll see in the work session tomorrow that we've started collecting this data about our high school seniors. Since we're losing them, we want to know who they are and where they're going to school. So this shows a little pipeline of the disposition of the high school seniors. So we began to start shepherding these, start getting to fellowship about where they're going to go to school, informing the prospective campuses about these kids are coming your way so we could take better care of them. And this chart here on I gives you an example. We had almost, 458 high school seniors that year. And then of that, how many went into college that we're aware of? 399. So we took our high school list, high school senior list, all the churches in the U.S. reported. We crossed that with the list of all the ones on the college campuses. When we asked for list out the college students on your campus, never drop a church kid even if they're not in sight. We want to keep them on our list. We crossed these two lists, so we found out that 80 or 59 of them never showed up on any of the campus lists. So that's some lost there. And then in this particular chart, as of April 2016, 200 were still in school, and 73 went to the full-time training, and then 126, they were deleted from the college age list and didn't go to the training. They probably graduated and went on to school, graduate school or work. So at least we know where some of these kids, 5 years after graduation, what percent of them were at the training? Have you ever wondered how many of our high school kids make it to the full-time training? Has that ever crossed your mind? You're working there with junior high kids and you just don't see too much development and they go to high school, maybe a little bit more development. They go off to college. They leave high school. However many of them survive college and get built up in college and want to go to the full-time training. Has that question ever crossed your mind? Well, the first year out, within 4 years, after 4 years, about 9 or 10% of them make it to the full-time training that were high schoolers. And then the fifth year out, you know, some take 5 years to get out of school, some longer. That's up to 16% of the high school seniors make it to the full-time training. So we're paying attention to our students. We're not letting them get lost in college. Even many of them are getting into the full-time training. So the campus teams are taking care, to some extent, of these high school seniors who graduate and come to the campus so that we don't lose them. That's a big help to avert this tragedy. Okay, then if you flip to back to the outline, we can go on to the full-timers. That's letter B under Roman numeral 2. Let's read that. Yeah, okay, so according to Matthew 20, let's all read that. How about we alternate brothers on one, sisters 6, and brothers 7. Go, brothers. Great. Okay, so here is the Lord wanting workmen, and they're standing around idle because they're not being hired by the Lord for God's administration, for God's economy. So the full-timers, before we had the campus teams, there was very few of them that made it into full-time serving. And it's when we started the apprenticeship back from 98 to about 2009, we had an apprenticeship, which is similar to an internship, where we labored together. Ones came from different teams. We labored together for a semester, and then they went back to their locality and began to labor on their campus. And so this provided fields to open up. Consider the fields in your area. How many campuses are there in your area that are like huge fields? That there's plenty of room for people to labor. What are we short of? We're short of laborers, short of one serving. So the campus teams have been able to help connect the supply and demand. The demand is the fields lie fallow. There's no one to labor there. And then the full-time training, they come out. So the hands, they've got workers. So if you can connect the supply of workers with the demand on the campuses, then you employ the full-timers, and you also meet the need of the demand on the campus by having campus teams. So the campus teams have helped to avert the problem of full-timers not having a place to labor. Okay, how about C? Let's read that. Okay, I think we've already covered that verse. We had Bob. Bob's still here. We had a little illustration with Bob earlier about Psalm 71, illustration of the rich assets. Without someone to pour into, especially the next generation, those assets are just not that productive. And anybody in business, if anybody here have their own business, some people, you know, if you have assets and they're not productive, what's happening? You're going to go out of business, or you're not maximizing your wealth, or you're not maximizing your business opportunities. You have valuable, you're invested, you have you have assets, you have something of value, but it's not producing anything. So it's lying waste, it's idle. So that's the problem. Many saints, rich assets, but very little opportunity to dispense that. Okay, let's go on to three. Let's read, three stages of development. So, by the Lord's mercy, we got the fellowship years ago about the hall and still keeping the hall. Even I understand Chicago just expanded their hall to include a parking lot. So great. Good idea. It helps the saints. It makes it more convenient to come here to park. So we're not leaving the hall, but we are opening home. So in Austin, we were in the hall 6 days out of the week. Monday night, we weren't. Okay, so Tuesday night, we were there, service meeting. Wednesday night for prayer. Thursday, we weren't there. The brothers, elder brothers met, but the church didn't meet. Friday, we had a love feast every Friday night in the hall. Saturday morning, we were in the hall cleaning it. Saturday night was a college meeting. Thursday morning was a message meeting, and then evening was a table meeting. So we were there, bound in the hall, so exhausted. By Monday, we were just flat out wiped out. So don't call me. Don't. No demands. No church, please. We're just walled up in the hall. Okay, that's extreme. That's too much. And our growth rate was flat. That was up until 85. 150 saints since the mid-70s to 85. We gained some people, but we lost people, so we weren't really growing. Once we opened up the homes, we began growing quite a bit. The saints began functioning. The saints began... you can't hardly imagine what it was like back then. You know, there was fears like, can the saints really function properly in a home? Will they be able to exercise? Will they know what to do? Will some of them get taken off? Well, you know, there was these kind of fears because it was such an unknown thing. Does this sound weird to you? Yeah. Well, that's what it was like. It was like, I remember fellowship with the brothers. Is this going to work? And how are we going to do this? And what if this? And what if that? And well, blah 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 blah. You know, we were very little faith, but we began experiencing a little bit of it, and wow, it really began, the saints began to flourish, they began to be fruitful, the church began to grow, the saints began to be more active. It was a great thing. It got developed, and it's still developing. So we got moved from the hall, which focuses on what? When you have a meeting in the hall, then you have to care about how's the meeting. You ever gone home and your spouse was sick? And what's the first question? How's the meeting? You usually don't ask about a person, or it's just, how's the meeting, dear? And you go, oh, it's great, I enjoyed it, and that's the end of the conversation. That's because we're in the hall, and we focus on how was the meeting, right? Okay, but when you go to the homes... And this is the mistake we made when we first went to homes. We still focused on the meeting. We didn't get it. We took the big meeting atmosphere and just chopped it up and put it in, and we dispersed it around the home. That's not what the New Testament talked about or what Brother Lee had in mind, but we were just so meeting-oriented that that's all we could do. So we just did it over here rather than all together. We just cut it up in pieces and did it over here. Well, it took us some time to figure out, well, wait a minute. We need to focus on not the meeting, but on what? People. It's okay if you're in a home and there's a high schooler that belongs to that family and one of the college kids goes up and spends the evening in the room with the high schooler, with that person, and they're not down in the meeting. Shame on you. The meeting! No. People! Let's all say it. People! God is a people lover. He likes our gathering. He enjoys the gathering, of course, expression, but he really cares. And the homes are where people are. So getting into the homes and having time together. That was a big advancement. And then we realized that it's not just about the homes. It is in the home, typically, but it can be elsewhere. But we have vital groups. So it's not just the people assembled in the home, it's the relationships. It's the relatedness, the vitality in Christ of those people. So we made further progression, not just to have a home meeting where it's unrelated, but we want to have vital grouping. And then what's that focus on? It's on the relatedness. You can call it blending of the saints, a blended loaf, but just relatedness is what builds up the body. The body parts are related. The relatedness. Look at my shoulder, how wonderful it can operate. It can go so many different motions. There's a related muscles in this shoulder. My daughter hurt. Actually, two of my kids injured their shoulder. One had surgery, one didn't. But it damaged a muscle, and so it couldn't make this motion. It could do this and this, but it couldn't do this because one of those parts was torn. You never had that? So there's a group of muscles that cause this to do all this wonderful stuff. They're related. Okay, they each have a particular function and they move so smoothly together because they're not just individual muscles operating unrelatedly, but they operate together. So the vitality, it's like a vital group right there. They're connected, they know each other's function is, and they do quite well together. That's the blending. God has blended. The Bible says He's blended the body. He's talking about the physical body. He's blended the body together. That's His blending. You just look at the body. Look at the physical body to pick up the spiritual reality. He's blended together. That there would be no division, but the same care. So you get into caring. When you get connected, related with people, you care about them. You miss them. You pray for them. You feel it. When one suffers, we all suffer because we're related and one. Okay, so you have the vital groups, and probably we don't have spend that much time. We already covered somewhat under the vital groups. For care, you have the fellowship, prayer, and care. That's the group fellowshipping together, praying together, caring for one another so that they're healthy. They're moving forward. They're getting their needs met. Once those needs are met, then you can reach out and coordinate. You still fellowship. You still pray. But now you're coordinating for some that you're related to, that you're desirous to bring along. It could be children. It could be high schoolers. It could be college age. But there's a coordination. We had testimonies about that earlier, the pop-ups, how they were burdened for this particular group of people or some needs of those people. So you start reaching out because you've got your needs met, so the Lord wants to meet other people's needs as well. So you have that group functioning. And out from that, there can come so much. This is the beauty of it, is by the Lord bringing these members together and blending them together, then He can burden them for His move, whatever He wants to do. Look at Acts 13. How many members were there related? Five. Seeking and faithful members. They came together and they were praying. They were ministering to the Lord. And look at the note there on ministering to the Lord. It's a great footnote. You'll love it. What do you think ministering to the Lord is? They were ministering to the Lord. These five, you know, the five, they were ministering to the Lord. And the Lord said, the Spirit said, set apart from me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work to which I called them. Set them apart. So they were there ministering to the Lord, the five. This is a vital group here. And the Lord could move through them because they were ministering to the Lord and the Lord had a need. And so he met that need through these members that were vital. And the other three who didn't go with him, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. So you have the body operating to meet a need through this vital group holding the head. So maybe you're in a group and maybe it's not too much vital. Who's to say? The Lord knows. But if you're coming together, you're seeking the Lord, you're open to the Lord, then he can move through that group and meet the needs of the body through fellowship, prayer, and coordination. Okay, good. Let's go on to five, Roman numeral four, sorry. Three factors. Okay. This is an interesting little phrase, catch lightning in a bottle, which is not that easy to do. Have you ever tried to catch lightning in a bottle? It's like you have something that's, it's special, it's vibrant, it's electrifying, it's, we just use that to compare to the body of Christ. The body of Christ is like catching lightning in a bottle. It's the fire, it's the essence, it's the thing itself. It's the body. It's the Lord himself and the members here below, right? So we like to catch it, we like to catch that. So here's just some factors to assist that catching. And one of them is fruit bearing. That was the goal, actually, of the vital groups. If you read John 15 about fruit bearing, and the note there, the purpose of those branches loving one another is that they would bear fruit. So to have the reality of the body of Christ, then there's a need to have some fruit bearing. Without fruit bearing, without endeavoring to bear fruit, then how much reality of the body we have, not quite sure. Like we said earlier, the life juice is flowing through that stem to the fruit to produce the fruit. So we need to have some fruit on the end of that stem if we're going to have the reality of that life passing through us, right? Right. Okay, then secondly, it's maintaining one accord. So when fruit bearing comes, then a lot of different ways come out. How do we bear that fruit? Who do we bear? Who speaks to that person? How do we approach that person? And a lot of fellowship, a lot of coordination. So we have to maintain the oneness among the branches. The love of the branches needs to be maintained if we're going to achieve that fruit bearing. And then finally, we have the functioning of the body. So here is the need for the members to exercise, to bring out their function. What is that function? How does that function develop? Well, my wife and I have a grandchild now, and we're enjoying watching that little life. It just daily, weekly, monthly, you can see the functioning of the members through the growth in life. As the little ones are growing in life, they're being nursed, they're being the movement, the motion. You know, she's kicking. She's always, it's not too coordinated. It's just like, you know, it doesn't look, it's not coordinated at all. But every time that happens, that muscle is functioning. That muscle is being used. That's how it grows. What if my daughter just nursed her, but she was in a straitjacket? What if she could not move any muscles? Do you think that would develop normally? That child would develop normally? Her muscles would never develop. If they're not moved, if there's no motion, there's no development. So functioning is a moving of the parts. If the body's not moving, it cannot grow, it cannot develop. Yes, we need the nourishment. We need to take in the nourishment. Without food, that baby's going to die. And without motion, that baby's not, the muscles are going to atrophy. They won't grow. There won't be the development. Motion causes the body to grow. I've asked several orthopedic surgeons about Ephesians 4:16. What is that verse? Y'all know that verse? Let's flip to it. Galatians, Ephesians 4:16. So I asked four different, a couple of them operate on my kids, and I asked these surgeons, it's also a good way to preach the gospel to them. I asked them about, what does it mean in your field, you're a doctor, you're a surgeon, working on joints. It says, every joint, okay, let's all read 16. Would it help to stand up? Why don't you stand up? That way you can get some motion. Yeah, let's move around. No, late afternoon, everybody's, it's a long push, so you'll get a break in about 8 minutes, 7 minutes, 6 minutes. Okay, how about we read this verse together?
How from whom all the body, being joined together and being knit together, through every joint of the rich supply, and through the operation and the measure of each one part, causes the growth of the body unto the building up of itself in love.
All right, good. Wonderful. So it knits the bodies joined together. And knit together, I get that. I think I get that about the body being joined together. It's joined. It's not only joined, the two bones, for instance, but it's also knit. The tendons are knitting together through every joint of rich supply and through the operation and measure of each one part. So I asked these surgeons, I said, how is it that the joints are joints of rich supply? You work on joints. You're a joint specialist. You deal with joints. You fix joints. You study joints. You analyze joints. What does it mean? My Bible says that there's a joints of rich supply. Tell me, Doc. Physical terms. How is a joint of rich supply? Answer. Four different orthopedic surgeons. What do you think they said? Huh? Blood? Yeah, got that one. Because it moves, so then it is active, so it's demanding blood supply. Okay, got that one. What else did I get? Any docs in the house? Any orthopedic surgeons? You can be number five. No? Okay, let's the rest of us try. What else do you think? A joint? Not a physical term. You know, the Bible uses a lot of physical. It's hard to grasp spiritual things. They're unseen. They're abstract. So much time, the Lord always used rural, farming, goats, sheep, plants, fruit, dirt. I know nothing about it. I go to the grocery store, swipe my card, and eat the apple. Clueless about what's behind. Clueless about what goes into that. So we miss it. It's like the Lord's, don't get it, don't get it, don't get it. Well, here we are, the human body. We have a little bit of knowledge about it. So what's the joint of rich supply? What's the supply? The body grows through every joint and rich supply and through the operation and measure of each one part. That causes the growth of the body. It's causing the growth. That is causing the growth. You want the growth to happen? There's a way to cause it to happen. We can cause it to happen. We know God gives the growth, but He gives it through this way. What do you think, joint and rich supply? What? Function. What do you mean function?
The bigger member helping the smaller member
Okay. We'll take that one. Function. So I'm going to write this up here. Okay, so first of all, it was, your name, brother, was what?
Alan.
Alan? Okay, he says his blood flow, right? Okay, and you're saying function. There's one, there's two, function. So supply, the joint of rich supply, equals, the supply is the blood flow. It says the joint of rich supply. How's a joint rich supply? Anybody else want to put some up here? What?
Nerves.
Okay. Nerves. Anybody else? How is a joint of rich supply causing the body to grow? Huh? Channel? Channel. What do you mean channel? C-H-A-N-N-E-L? Channel. Explain that one. What? A channel through. The blood supply. Okay, so you're kind of related to this one. It's through the blood flow. Okay, so we'll put these two are somewhat equal. Anybody else before the break? Oh, we have about 30 seconds. What? Exercising. Okay, well, it's 4:30 and we ran out of time. Oh, one more? Growth plate. A joint of supply because it's a growth plate. Are you a doctor? Okay. Your growth plate's okay? Okay, anybody else? We're out of time. One more, what?
What if you have committed factors,
say? We gotta go on break.